harmony of the Gospels. Jesus is going to be before Pilate. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for what we're learning about our triune God and what we're learning about our mankind. And we pray, Father, that because of this knowledge that we will purpose to walk, yes, even closer to you. Now we ask that you'll bless our time in the Word today. For it's in Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, you look at the top of your sheet, you see we're going to be in Matthew, Mark, Luke, yes, and John. All four of the Gospels contain this particular incident in the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, let's find out. Well, of course, we're on the morning of the sixth day. And when did this incident occur? It says, when the morning was come. Mark says this, and straightway, oh yes, in the morning. And John says, and it was early. So we know the timing of this particular incident. All right, but let's go on. Who had taken counsel against Jesus? Matthew says it like this. All the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus. Why? To put him to death. Mark simply says, hey, the chief priests, they held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. So I just simply ask you, okay, so who was all involved? We know who were. Name a couple of them off. Chief priest, elders, scribes, and the whole council. Whole council, that's the Sanhedrin. And that was made up of the priest and the leaders of the people, Sanhedrin, the whole council. Now, how did they take Jesus? All right, they're in the garden, and when they had bound him, they led him away. All right, so they bound him up, taking him from and then it says, and they bound Jesus, and they carried him away. And a whole multitude of them arose and led him, it just says. Then John says, and they led they Jesus. But putting those incidents together, we know they led him away, but he was bound as they led him away. Well, where did they take Jesus? Well, and they delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Mark just simply says, and they delivered him to Pilate. Luke, and they led him to Pilate. John says, from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. Now, watch this. Look at your footnote here. I write, Pilate was the governor of Judea appointed by Tiberius in 26 A.D., A.D. 26. He was the head of the army occupation, and he had power over life and death. Thus the reason for the Jews coming to him. So here's what we're seeing, all right? Now, verse 18. Who didn't go into the judgment hall? Now, they brought him, who doesn't go in now to the judgment hall? And they themselves went not into the judgment hall. Now, they're bringing him to Pontius Pilate. From the priest, they're going from the priest. Now we're moving into the Roman law. Okay, we talked about that. Now, why or who wouldn't go into the judgment seat, into Pilate's place? Well, let's read on. Why didn't they go into the judgment seat, judgment hall? John tells us. Now, this is only John giving us this account. Lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Okay, so who didn't go in and why didn't they go in into a Gentile house? They're going to be on the outside, but they're not going in. Now, remember what group was leading them away? Yeah, the whole council, the priests, Jews, all right. So what happens if the Jews go into the house of the Gentile? They're going to be defiled. Therefore, they're not going to be able to partake of the Passover week. All right? So they don't go in. So what did Pilate ask of them? Then it says, Pilate then went out unto them and said, well, what accusation bring ye against this man? I mean, that's pretty logical. Well, you know, what's going on here? Watch how they respond to Pilate. And they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. So what are they? It's almost like they're being what? Kind of indignant? Well, come on. If there wasn't some real good reasons, we wouldn't have brought him here. Almost saying, well, why do we need to tell you? You know the reasons. So we wouldn't have brought him if we didn't have some real good reasons. Now watch. What did the chief priests then do? Mark tells us, and the chief priests, they accused him of many things. Probably Pilate says, you know, that's not going to fly. Okay, you can tell me, you know, insinuate you got all kinds of accusations against him. Give me some of them. Well, now they're going to accuse him of many things. And only Mark says that, okay? You notice that? How did Jesus answer them? Again, Mark. But he answered nothing. All right, they're accusing him of all these things. And here stands Jesus. And what's his response to them? Zip. He remained silent. So what did Pilate ask him? Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? So it seems maybe he had already said it once to him. But he says, okay, Pilate asked again, saying, answerest thou nothing? I mean, here are all these priests. They're throwing out all these accusations. And Christ just doesn't say a thing. So Pilate's trying to prod him to give an answer for himself. Watch what happens. What else did Pilate say to Jesus? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. So he's trying to, when you look at that, what do you think he's trying to do with Jesus? He's trying to what? Yeah, trying to defend himself. Man, are you not listening to all these accusations that are being hurled at you? Oh, how do you answer them? What's your answer? What did Jesus say to Pilate? But Jesus answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. I mean, probably hadn't been too many times he'd had someone come before him and he was going to judge him, and he didn't make some kind of, defense for himself. But, he remains silent, and this causes Pilate just to marvel. Does this guy have a death wish? What did Pilate tell the Jews to do? Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. All right, so he's putting it back to them. You take him. You judge him. But we know why they brought him, don't we? But we'll read it here in a moment. And how did the Jews reply to Pilate? You notice this was just in John's account, don't you? And the Jews therefore said unto him, it's not lawful for us to put any man to death. Okay, now we know their motive for them really coming to the civil judge, because they had no power to put anybody to death. But Pilate does. So what did they then begin to do, these accusers of Jesus? Well, we read from Luke's account, they began to accuse him, saying, so now they're going to accuse him of all kinds of things. I ask you on top of page 4, okay, well, what did they begin to accuse him of? Well, Luke's account tells us what? He says, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. All right, now look, I ask you this question. Why do you think they made this accusation or accusations and not the one that they had charged him of amongst themselves? When they were amongst themselves, what they had charged him of was blasphemy, because he, indicated he was God. Yeah, he was the Messiah, he was God. But they don't bring that up. Look at the charges of, okay, he's perverting the nation. He wouldn't give tribute to Caesar. Why? He himself is a king. So what are they trying to establish? That Jesus had broken what laws? Yeah, the Roman laws. The civil laws. They're thinking, Pilate doesn't care anything about the ceremonial laws that he's violated, but we'll accuse him of all these civil laws, and wow, here he is. He's not giving tribute to Caesar. But now, what do we know about that? Yes. Remember what the Lord did? Hey, yeah, go get that fish. Get that coin out. So this is just an out and out what? Out and out lie. That's an out and out lie. And now the fact that he says he's Christ the King, well, that's not a lie. That's the truth there. And lots of times when people bring accusations against us, they do have a partial what in them. Sometimes, mostly. Yeah, they got a little truth. Something going through there to make us think, well, hey, what they're saying is true. Well, there's a little truth here, but there's a lot of lie. Next question. Why was it necessary for Jesus to die? Yeah. It says that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. It wasn't going to be by natural causes, all right? And for him to die on the cross, that was the death penalty for civil disobedience, all right? So this had to come to pass because of the fact that Christ had spoken about how he would die. Now watch, what did Pilate ask him? Mark says, Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? So right off the bat, see, he picked out of that one thing, the aspect of Christ as a king, all right? So he asked him, well, now are you king of the Jews? Luke says the same thing, saying, art thou king of the Jews? Now we get a little bit more in John's account. Then Pilate, he entered into the judgment hall again, and he called Jesus, and he said unto him, art thou king of the Jews? So he's gone out, he's talked to his accusers, now he's come back in, he's talking to Christ, and the thing that he's brought back in his mind anyway, that they're saying that Christ was a king. So he's asking him, art thou the king of the Jews? Well, interesting that we see an answer in John's account, okay? Watch this. How does Jesus answer this question? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? So you look at that. And what comes to your mind? What's going on? Do you say this of yourself, or did others tell you this? He's asking Pilate, all right, did you come to this point? You got this question. Is this you, or is this others prompting you to ask this question? Yes. Yes. And how, yeah, because always this is for the other person's benefit, not for the Lord, because he knows. How did Pilate answer Jesus? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Now, it's like almost bait and switch here. What is he doing? He starts out, well, hold on a minute. You want me to answer this? Am I a Jew? I don't know about your Jewish things. But then he brings it back to with the question, what? You know, what have you done? You know, what are you guilty of? That question about whether or not he was the king, we didn't get that answer, did it? But wait a minute. Look here on top of page 5. How did Jesus answer Pilate's question? And he answering, he said unto him, thou sayest it. Luke. And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. But watch what we see new and fresh in John's account, okay? Jesus answered, hey, my kingdom is not of this world. Almost like he's trying to put Pilate at what? I'm not trying to take your kingdom, he's saying. I'm not after your kingdom, because my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence. Man, that had got to have blown Pilate's mind. Try to wrap your mind around that. What kind of, see, what, a kingdom of far off? What kingdom is he talking about? But the statement that my kingdom is not of this world, maybe he thought, well, maybe he meant this providence. What is he? Is he, you know, I don't know what's all going through, but notice what question Pilate asked of Jesus. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? He's trying to sort through all this, trying to get, if you will, maybe just give me a simple answer. Now you're telling me, yeah, you say it, you said it. I'm king of the Jews. Well, thou sayest that. Well, hold on. Are you king then? Watch this. We're back to John's account. Watch. Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am king. All right, that was very similar to Luke and Mark's account. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He says, okay, you say that I'm a king. Well, this is the very reason why I was born. Born to be a king. All right? But this is the very cause I came into the world. Born to be a king. And I'm going to bear witness unto the truth. The word of God is going to be verified and is verified in my coming. And those who that hold to the truth concerning myself, that I am indeed the Messiah, he says, they're going to hear my voice. They're going to hear it. Everyone that's of the truth heareth my voice. And how did Pilate respond to that statement? Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. John, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and he saith unto them, I find no fault at all. Now, Pilate isn't comprehending what's going on here, is he? But he is comprehending what? Yes, that's the one thing that he is comprehending, that these Jews are out to kill this innocent man. He's not wrapping his mind about the whole, he doesn't understand how can he be king, and he's not king of this world, but how is he king? He doesn't understand that, but he does understand the fact that this man has not done what these men are accusing him of doing. Now, let's see how the priest and the people respond. And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." So now they're emphasizing what? Man, he's guilty. He is guilty. Now, that's where this ends off at this point, because he's about to be now shipped. But they did it with more fierce. They were stirring up the people. They were talking about, man, he's doing this throughout all Judea. One thing is what we're going to find out, that the moment that he hears this, as we'll look in our next lesson, the moment he hears it, he's from Galilee. Now he's got another out. Because, okay, he'll send him to Herod, who he knows is coming, who is now the director over that. That's where he's going to go next, to Herod. He's just here with Pilate. But Pilate wants to get this thing off of himself. So now he's got a thing. I'll send him to Herod. And that's what we'll see next time, is that that's exactly what he does. Now, let's take a look and maybe take a few minutes here and see if we learn anything through these verses concerning our triune God. You know, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, there wasn't too much about God the Holy Spirit here, was there? What did we discern about? What do you think? Did we learn anything about God the Father? Anything about his plan? What do you think God's plan was for Jesus? As you see this thing working itself out, God's plan was that he was to go to the cross, death. So, but you do see this process, and who is God using? The Jews, yep. He's going to use the religious leaders, and he's going to use the civil leaders to bring this about. Yes.
Jesus had to go to the cross. He could not have been stoned, so it had to be taken out of their hands.
Yes. Yep. And their premier, one, they couldn't even stone him at this day. But even if they could have stoned him, you're right, they can't stone him because that's not the death he can die. He's got to die the death on the cross. And that was the traditional method whereby the Romans put those who were found guilty to death. So you're right. So we see that God's plan for the Lord would be suffering. There on the cross. What did we learn about Jesus? Maybe, and his kingdom. Now, it's kind of hard for us to understand this, isn't it? Because he says, my kingdom is not of this world. But we know that there's going to be a time in the millennial, where is he going to rule? In his world. Now, he's also going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the world to come, when we have that new heavens and that new earth, when, as our author was talking to us today, when the great city is of Jerusalem is lowered, and of course in the midst of that great city is the throne of God, on which he will sit and reign. But the Lord's he's got a kingdom, and his kingdom is greater than Pilate's kingdom. It's greater than Herod's kingdom. I mean, it's going to be all inclusive. We learn that about our Lord. Do we learn anything? Anything else that we learned about our Lord? You want to add to it? Well, do we learn anything about mankind in these verses? Well, we're seeing this repeated over and over, but there is still another lesson we see about mankind. What do we learn about the religious leaders? Oh, go ahead, Sharon. What do you want to say?
I wasn't even thinking of the
religious leaders. All right.
What I learned about mankind is that our flesh blinds us to God's
opened. Yeah, there's, you know, we get blinded. You know, sin blinds us. Satan blinds us. And our own selfish lust blind us. I mean, those are probably the three premier ways whereby we are blinded to the truth. And, you know, they were talking about the truth in this passage. But it wasn't open to them. And I mentioned religious leaders. We see for sure that the religious leaders, they hated the Lord so much that they sought to what? Want to kill him. Okay, they want to kill him. We saw that real clear. Now, I looked at this, and I see a little hypocrisy with the religious leaders. What wouldn't they do? And then what were they going to do? And what did they want to do? What wouldn't they do? Oh, well, they're so, yes, we can't defile ourselves by going into this Gentile house. But at the same time, they're plotting and planning how to put an innocent man to death. And, of course, we see that quite a bit. You know, for me, for Democrats, the epitome of hypocrisy for them to ever speak out about moral righteousness is they're so adamant about putting children to death. And for me, I look at that and I'm thinking, and doesn't that at times just shut you off when you know somebody is a hypocrite? You know, oh yeah, they're saying, yeah, oh that's bad. And but you know in their life they're like, and that almost closes the door, so you can't even hardly listen to them. Well, that's about the way it is with me with a Democrat. Knowing that all they do is push and push for different forms of aborting children, and then to stand and they're going to, you know, be so righteous and talk to us about somebody else's, you know, sins. It's a hard thing for me to swallow. So, but that I see their hypocrisy. I mean, oh, they wouldn't go into a Gentile's house that they would be defiled, but they're out to destroy a man. Well, let's see, what else did we learn about them? Well, men will lie to destroy another. Oh, we saw that. Oh, hey, he refused to, you know, to pay tribute. That's a lie. They spoke that lie to destroy his name, his character. And we're going to just see that as we go through with Pilate, he knows it, the Lord's innocent. And yet, ultimately, he's going to turn him over to be put to death. And I got to believe his judgment is going to be greater. I mean, why do I say that? Because I look in the Old Testament, and there was like two types of sins, okay? You could do one accidentally. All right, you accidentally killed somebody. Okay, you had your seven cities of what? Refuge, all right? So there's one thing. Okay, I got. But then there's the intentional. Okay, where could you hide? You couldn't even go to the altar if there's an intention of killing. You can't hide in the altar. So when you see that here's a man who, okay, you know, that some didn't understand and they thought for sure because they heard the priest say this, and wow, the priests have got to be right. So they might have bannered with him, yes, crucify him, crucify him. Versus those who knew that he was innocent and pushing it. You know, you look in Revelation, he says we're going to be judged. The unbelievers are going to be judged according to their works. And we've talked about this before. I don't quite understand how the Lord judges some more severely than he does, but it appears that he does, because why bother keeping all the works? There's no use to doing it. If there's just a single judgment for everybody, then why bother keeping books of what they've, of their deeds that they've done? So I look and I'm thinking, you know, like Pilate, and I'm thinking about the religious leaders knowing that this man is innocent, but yet pushing to put him to death. Their judgment is going to be much, much more severe. Well, hey, how might we use these verses to change our behavior? Anybody can come up with a purpose? Okay, watch our hypocrisy, right. Now that's a good, that would be a good, you know, I purpose not to be a hypocrite in judging others while I am, you know, committing things that are even worse, all right? Okay. Sharon? That's all right, you'll come back. All right. There's a passage in Romans 2 that talks about, you know, he's saying, well, you know, you accuse others of doing things that you yourselves are doing. And, you know, and the Lord rails on the Jewish leaders. That's what he was addressing, their Jewish leaders. I put down something like this. I said, because God's will for me may include suffering. All right. I look down through the life of Christ and I see, look, if the Holy of Holies can suffer from sinners, then how much more so me? So I write, okay, because God's will for me may include suffering from others, I purpose to strive to respond like who? Who do you think I put on the end? Like Jesus, yeah. And, you know, and we're watching and we're seeing his response. No, we're going to see more of it as we go along. But, you know, if we can have a humble and meek spirit when confronting our accusers, wow, you know, what a blessing. Yes, go ahead. Slow to speak, yes. Yep. Amen. Yeah. Yep. All right. Anybody, somebody else on today's lesson? All right. We're going to go to Herod. And I think that's a very short one. So we'll probably do Herod. And then we'll go right back to Pilate. So in our next session. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for this marvelous lesson that you've shown us. And I'm sure, maybe even this week, at least one of us in this auditorium, we're gonna suffer from a sinner. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to be quick to hear, slow to anger, slow to speak. Lord, I pray that you would help us to respond like our Lord and Savior responded to the suffering that he experienced. Just bless us with that kind of spirit, and we would be sure to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.